Coming up, if you're stressed out at work, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. And then, is pay transparency no longer a taboo issue? Are employers giving lip service about mental health? We'll break it down and coach you up next. Helping you win at work and in life by giving you the competitive edge to make more money and experience more impact. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled that you are with us. So if you're stressed out, can I get your undivided attention? Because a lot of people, more people and more stress reported than ever before. And so I want to talk to you about something that you can do and something that you should do. If you're feeling stressed out, burned out, just simply overwhelmed, like you're just drinking from a fire hydrant, it's coming at you and you feel like you're drowning the moment you get out of the car, I think you need to take a mental health day. But I think there's a right way to do it. This is not a new concept, the idea of a mental health day. I don't think this is a new idea. But, you know, I was talking with some colleagues about this, and one colleague in particular who had gone through a season last year where she had gone through a lot of hurt, a lot of change, kind of all colliding at the same time. And it reminded me of a season that, for those who've been watching this show for two or three years, there was a season about a year and a half ago where I was hurting big time, really hurting. A lot of pain, emotional pain, a lot of worry and some stuff going on in my personal life that I got to tell you was impacting me tremendously. And I remember telling one of my leaders about it and saying, you know, I learned the hard way. There were some days where it was all I could do to get through the show. I'll never forget one day, Joe, Joe and I have been together a long, long time, and Joe comes in early, and he obviously he runs our board, but he sets up the studio and everything. And Joe, I don't know if you remember this, but one day Joe came in, and back behind this screen here is kind of a closet of, you know, and it's an area, and it's very dark and it's quiet. And in this particular day, he came in and I was crouched back there just praying. And he's like, whoa, okay. And Joe, you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And that was a day where, I'm just being really honest with you all, I was stressed out, burned out. I was struggling. And I decided that if I was going to do the show that day, the only way I was going to do it, or rather the only way I would be able to do it, is if I came in here and just prayed. And thankfully it worked and I got through. But I will tell you that it was many months later, after I got through that season, the storm passed and the sun came out, that I realized that I shouldn't have done that day. Because you cannot give what you do not have. And I did my best to serve the callers. I did my best to serve you that day. But I'm just telling you, I should have taken a mental health day. We have sick days here. I think if you talk to your leader, and let's just go right into this. If you go to your leader and say, hey, and your leader can do this and say, hey, can I use a sick day for this? I'm struggling. I'm struggling. I'm okay. I'm going to be all right. I just need a down day, and I'll take it as a sick day. And if not, I'll take it as paid vacation. But I need to detach and detox. That's what I think a mental health day is. Now, how to do it the right way, I'm going to get to that in a second. But I want to go back to some data. According to a Forbes article that I saw, 2/3 of workers now say that they would take a day off from work for their mental health. So now this is compared to 45% before the pandemic. So this is a good thing. And I guess what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to use some data right now to some of you, and I'm looking right at you. You don't have to be ashamed. I said to my leader, I shouldn't have been ashamed. I should have come in and said, guys, Alex, I can't do the show. I should have picked up the phone at night and said, hey, I can't do it tomorrow. I need to take some time. I didn't. Because I took it upon myself to somehow suffer through the day as if I was doing the right thing, when the right thing would have been to actually detach and detox. A mental health day, one or two or three, whatever is needed. So I get it if you feel as though it's dishonorable, or maybe you're ashamed to admit it. I get it. I've been there. I'll never do that again. Also in this article, health and workplace experts caution that taking a mental health day and just spending it binge watching shows or getting on social media or doing a bunch of busy things like errands that you didn't get to isn't actually going to be helpful. It is still a form of busyness when what you need is to detach and detox. How do you do it? Well, I'm going to just tell you what I did. I needed to cry. I needed to cry by myself. I needed to cry to my wife. I needed to cry to some good friends. I just needed to cry. I needed to let it out. And then I needed to just spend time alone and quiet and thinking and practicing gratitude, no matter why I was hurting and what was causing the pain and the uncertainty around it. I was still certain of many things that I was blessed. And then I needed to process the pain. What was my contribution to it? Was I being too sensitive in some areas? Was I taking something personally? Whatever it is. To be able to first just cry and hurt and tell somebody, I need a hug, or I just need to sob and snot all over the place. Will you not judge me? And then begin the process of working through the feelings and the thoughts. Plan your mental health day to where I'm not busy. I'm not distracted. Busy means I'm running errands. I'm doing other things to take my mind off it. I'm not distracted by Netflix or movies or whatever, friends and just playing around. No, I am going to take this time, whatever it is, and I'm going to plan out restorative time. The crying, the hugs, the thinking, the journaling, the processing, the quiet, the healing. That's what you should be spending a mental health day doing. Allowing your head and heart to detox by detaching, to remove yourself from that pain, to remove yourself from the pressure of work, and just be a human being for a day or two or three, whatever it is. Why does this matter so much? Why am I recommending that you do what I didn't do at first? Because now coming on the other side of it, realizing there's some time where I just need to understand that I can't be super kin, and me trying to be super kin for you is a delusion. You know, I love sports and I use a lot of sports analogies on the show, but you know, how many times have we read stories or heard stories or in post-game interviews where an athlete was hurt and didn't want to drag themselves off the sideline because they cared so deeply about the team, because they were warriors mentally and emotionally, but in not dragging themselves off to the sideline to get healthy, they end up hurting the team because of the injury. They weren't quick enough, fast enough, strong enough to make the play that the team relied upon. And so if I come in one day when I should not be here because I am wounded and I give subpar advice or really bad advice, I'm not helping you or the audience by trying to be super kin. Don't try to be a hero or the whole team is going to lose. Get healthy. Take care of yourself. You cannot give. You cannot pour out what you do not have. The mental health day will help. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win by giving you the competitive edge to make more money and more meaning in your work. Many of you are thinking about a new job. When's the right time? And when you start thinking about change, can we just admit that most of us don't like change because of all of the unknowns and it's uncomfortable? And so I get it, which is why I endorse with tremendous enthusiasm ZipRecruiter. They don't want you to feel alone in the job search. Their artificial intelligence does most of the work for you once you take just a few minutes and fill out a profile. They're out there actively recruiting on your behalf, pitching you. And when they tell you, hey, we got a company that wants your resume, all you got to do is click, yep, I'm in. And they do the work for you, one click. And you stand out because you're coming from ZipRecruiter. Because remember, companies are paying ZipRecruiter for access to you, the talent. It's free to you. ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter.com. All right. It's time to cover a couple of stories here to keep you up to date on what is happening in the news. Headline from Fortune magazine, many Gen Z and millennial workers feel employers only pay lip service for mental health. Nearly 9 in 10 employers have reported recently that they are now putting a focus on mental health this year. Gen Z, though, and these are young people born between January 95 and December 2003. And millennials born between January 1983 and December 1994 say companies talk more about mental health, yes, but they don't see any real impact. This is according to a Deloitte Gen Z and Millennial survey that just came out. Nearly half of Gen Z workers, 46%, and 38% of millennials feel stressed out most of the time. Now, I wish I could break this down. I really do. I have musings at best as to why this younger generation is so daggum stressed out all the time. Because can I just say this? They've had it better than most, you know? I mean, I'm serious. Here we go. I can hear some people, okay, boomer. Well, first of all, I'm not a boomer, but I'm just going to tell you, let me give one example and I'll move on, Alex. Okay. I don't know why these young people are so stressed out all the time. They didn't have to grow up going on summer vacation with nothing to do except read a book or stare at cows. They're constantly entertained. When I went on summer vacation, there was no video in the car. All right? And your entertainment was if you could color or read, which I couldn't do either because I'd get dizzy in the car, or staring at cows and weird, freakish families that passed you on the interstate. That was your entertainment. I'm talking for 9, 10, 11 hours. You best get sleepy. I got to the point where I would stay up half the night before a long road trip with the hopes that I would pass out in the car and wake up when we got there. All right? This is one example. They've had life so easy. It's unbelievable. Well, by the way, when I played sports, here's one more because I can't help myself. You didn't get trophies for showing up. You actually had to win the game. But anyway, I don't understand why they're stressed out all the time, but it's real. About 38% of Gen Z workers and a third of millennials have taken time off to deal with anxiety and stress. And again, I mentioned that the Mental Health Day. I think if you're really under stress, you got to do it. All for it. But I do think as a society, we got to figure out what's causing all the stress besides horrible leadership. Well, it's a big part of it. Now, here's what's interesting. Roughly a third of Gen Zs and millennials say they're not comfortable talking with their manager or supervisor about their stress, anxiety, or other mental health challenges. And that I wish I could encourage you. I wish I could encourage you to say, I understand why you feel that way. It's vulnerable to speak openly about this stuff to your leader. In many cases, they've not done what they need to do as leaders to build trust with you. So I'm having some fun at your expense on the devices in the car and the trophies. But the fact of the matter is, I certainly understand that there are so many poor leaders out there who don't create a healthy, trusting environment to where you could say, hey, I'm really stressed out. I'm dealing with some anxiety, maybe from something in my personal life or whatever. And I just need to, I mean, you have got to at some point look out for yourself and learn how to handle that. Now, a little quick coaching on this. You know, if they've not developed an environment where you feel trusting, you still got to go in and say, hey, listen, I'm okay. I'm not leaving, but I am stressed out because of this, this, and this. And it's starting to affect me this way physically, emotionally. And I'm figuring it out and I'm going to get healthy. I just need this day. And again, take it from my paid time off if you won't make it a sick day. I understand. But there's some responsibility and some humility and maturity being displayed if you go that route. Because what I just said earlier on in the show still applies. Whether your leader gives you sick time off for that or not, it's still up to you to take care of you. And so don't be afraid. Be very transparent. Be humble. And take responsibility for yourself. this goes without saying, if it is met with resistance, you're not there much longer anyway. Let's be honest. You didn't need me to tell you that. So anyway, all that said, I bring this story up because I do want that younger generation. I want, listen, you have got to be okay talking to your leader and not making up some garbage excuse. You don't have to lie. And you're going to figure out really quickly if you're in an environment where they take the mental health stuff seriously. By approaching it that way, you're not demanding. You're not looking like a snowflake. You're just being responsible. And I like that. And I think you got to do it. Okay, next story. Same line here. Millennials and Gen Z. So focusing on you youngsters right now. I want you getting ahead too. I got no problem with you winning. By the way, you know what? I got to say this very quickly. I always have a little bit of fun because I'm jealous. I'm jealous that I grew up in the 70s and 80s and we didn't have devices and all the things that make your life so great. Let me just say this. I get real pissy when I hear leaders take on millennials and Gen Z as if there's something wrong with these younger generations. Ain't nothing wrong with you all. There are doofuses and losers in my generation too. There are snowflakes in my generation. Can I just say that? Colliding of words. There are bad doofuses, lazy, no good, you know what's in every generation. And there are rock stars. They're world-class individuals in the millennial generation and in Gen Z and in the generation behind Gen Z. You know why I know that? Because I'm raising three of them. So, I can't stand when leaders, oh, these millennials, know what? You grew up with losers too. So anyway, all right, here's the story. Millennials and Gen Z are changing workplace taboos on pay transparency. Now, I'm a little nervous about this. Full disclosure. What does this mean? Well, for years, decades, if you will, religion, politics, bad-mouthing your boss were kind of like, hey, not a good idea to talk about it in the office. Well, when it comes to pay, though, that was one of them. Some 42% of Gen Z employees and 40% of millennials are sharing salary information with coworkers or other professional contacts. Now, I'm okay with you sharing what you make to other professional contacts, not in the office. I get a little nervous about sharing it with coworkers because I just think it is only going to be negative. There's nothing good that comes of it. Now, they quote a career expert here who says, you need to make sure that you're talking confidentially with someone you built trust with. I don't believe there is any confidentiality when it comes to money. You can trust your coworker all you want to. Do you really? That they're not going to tell anybody? Come on now. As long as you don't tell them what you're earning, your colleague doesn't reveal what, because you could reveal what you're earning, and your colleague doesn't reveal what they make, and if they make less than you, this whole thing just went up in smoke. You may also discover that a new hire with less experience, I talk about this all the time, could come in at a higher number than you. You are immediately resentful of them, and they've done nothing wrong, because you're just being a human being. Data from the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta shows that as of March 2022, employees who switch jobs see wage growth of 7.1% on average with 5.3% growth rate among those who stay. People are going to continue to leave to get higher pay and people are going to continue to come in. I don't think it is a good strategy for you to share with any coworker what you make. It just can cause so much damage. If you don't think you're making what you're supposed to, go find it somewhere else. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Coaching you up for the competitive edge to make more money and more impact in your work. Life is too short for you not to be on a track and moving, no matter how fast the progress is, but moving towards a better future where your head, your heart are engaged. You're doing work that you're good at. You're doing work you love. And you're producing results that matter to you. That is our aim for you. What I love about the internet and the webs and the interwebs and just the flat digital world we live in is the ability to do a show like this and talk to somebody from around the globe. New Zealand is where we go next. Am I reading that properly? I want to make sure my eyes are working. Rocky joins us. Rocky, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hello, Ken. How are you?
I am living the dream. Good to be talking to you, sir. Where are you at in New Zealand?
I'm just in the South Island.
Oh, fantastic. Well, how can I help you?
Yeah. All right, so I've been working for a security firm for about 8 months now. Mm-hmm. In the first 7 months, I was contracted out to another client, and I absolutely loved every single minute of it. Unfortunately, that was a temporary position, and I've just been reassigned to another client, and that was my goal for the beginning of that job. And so ever since I started working for that new role, I've been having problems after problems after problems with my employer. Hmm. So my question is knowing that this role only exists if I keep working for this company, how do I move on from it?
Okay. This is the role that you've always wanted.
Yes.
What's the role?
Essentially, it's de-escalating situations with people who are having a hard time in the justice system.
Okay. I'm sorry, I don't quite fully understand that. In that, explain to me how that type of work is not available anywhere else in New Zealand.
It's because it's all hired to this company. It's all contracted to this company that I work for.
Okay, I see. So this is contracted to the government. So private company, and then they're offering services to the government in this area.
That's correct.
Okay, got it. So you can't do it anywhere else.
That's correct.
Well, it's a tough one. This is a tough one. What are the nature of the problems you continue to have? What kind of problems are they?
So I've got a big list of them here. breaching contract constantly. Rostering me short notice without asking me. Expecting me to know changes in procedure without telling me. Not being trained properly. Asking me to break the law at my expense of my welfare. HR is not responding. Yeah. And I don't even know who I'm supposed to be reporting to.
Oh, this is an absolute nightmare. This is almost like, this is like if Alex and I wrote a screenplay based on all of the calls we get from people. This is everything, Amanda. Like, I don't know that this is like every call we've ever gotten about a horrible leader. Rocky's got them all in one company. So Rocky, I got to tell you, that's not supposed to make you feel bad. But I'm just telling you, listen, all of these things are bad, but when they're asking you to do something illegal, it's done. It's over.
Yeah, and the issue is I actually really like the job.
Well, no, that's not true. That's not true. You like elements of the job, but eventually all this other crap you just listed out is going to make you hate this job. Do you see that coming?
I do, yes.
I understand what you're saying, but I really want to warn you here. I understand that the work itself you love, but all of those other circumstances... It is only a matter of time before you hate your job, begin to hate yourself, or maybe you get thrown in jail. Because if you knowingly do something illegal that they ask you to do, you're still culpable for that.
Yes, that's right.
Well, that's not an option. So,
no.
Describe for me briefly, and you don't have to go into the details for our audience, but I want you to describe the type of work you do. Describe the stuff, like what it is that you really like the job. What are you doing? Describe, give me five or six things that you love about the job. Give me a task or some role. Explain that to me.
It's a tricky one. So I essentially just go into situations where I have to de-escalate something from. I'm helping them through the justice system.
So let's call it this. I'm trying to help you say this. So you would say I have to de-escalate high tension moments. Is that a good way of saying it?
That's right.
And you love that. What do you love about that?
So I like trying to make things easier for people that are going through a rough time.
Yeah. So you like
deal with the system.
Yeah. So you like solving people problems. Yes?
That's correct. Yeah.
You see how I simplified that? Do you like the pressure, or is it less about the pressure of the high tension and it's more, I like the construct, the discipline, the exercise of de-escalation?
I love all of that, everything you just said.
Okay, great. So do you see what I just started walking you through? You have to write down. Yeah. It's really important to write down so you can see it with your eyes, or you could type it up, but you need to visually get this stuff out of your head, and you create a description of what you really enjoy about the job. So that's just task and role focused. Now, once we get clear on that, we go, this is what I love. There are other ways to do that. I promise you there are. Maybe not in the specific environment that you're doing because of the contract with the government, but you can do that kind of work where you're dealing with complex human issues. You have to come in and analyze. You have to come in and calm. You have to come in and provide solutions and guide people through to a better place. Is that a decent way of describing it?
Yes, that's right. Yes.
You can find that somewhere else, and you're going to have to.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to last.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I know I'm right.
Yeah.
You can't keep this up.
It's just so disappointing, isn't it?
It sucks.
Hard to get into a position. And,
it sucks. Yeah. It sucks because you put a lot of effort, training, you hustled, you got the job, and on paper, it's freaking awesome. But then you got these idiot leaders that have created a truly toxic environment. Sometimes I wonder, Amanda, when people tell you, well, I'm in a toxic environment. Let me tell you something, folks. If anybody wants to know what toxicity is, Rocky's swimming in it. And listen, Rocky, you're going to have to mourn this a little bit. But the best way to recover after mourning it, like literally just be sad, sucks. If it weren't for this and this, this would be great. But you got to own it. You got to heal from it. But then the best way to recover and restore yourself from it is to find that other places and go, this is the work that I love to do. And life is too short to try to just grin and bear it and put myself in potential legal peril just because I like the work. You got to find versions of that in other places. And I just gave you a job description that's fairly high level for you to be able to see other things, because you know what it is that you love to do. We just described it. So now we go find that in other places, and you do your homework this time. You find a way to talk to people who work there. Find a way to talk to people who serve with or are contractors with this next organization, and you will be able to find out very quickly and very accurately if it is a healthy culture. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, man. Hey, listen, I've been there before. I want you to know that I thought I had my dream job when I was in my early 30s, and it was an absolute train wreck. And I walked around for 3 months trying to go, hey, this can't be right. This can't be right. And I was right. And so I quickly understood it's time to move on. The nightmare doesn't solve itself. We must remove ourselves from the nightmare. And I'm giving you permission to do it, Rocky. Thank you so much for listening across the globe. The best is yet to be, Rocky. I promise. Take charge. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like The Rachel Cruz Show.
Money should be fun, not stressful. I'm Rachel Cruz, and I'll show you practical tips on how to save money in your everyday life and get out of debt even faster on The Rachel Cruz Show. I'll show you that you can take control of your money and create a life you love. Listen to The Rachel Cruz Show wherever you listen to podcasts.